check session number 12504, real 4.
Squadron Leader Bugey, Real 4. So you went up on the train to Baghdad, and what was the setup there for
you? Well, I joined the 30th Squadron.
And did you have a proper base there with proper places to live in?
Oh, yes. There we had some proper building huts, you know. Was a hut.
Quarters.
What kind of duties did you take up once you got there?
I was still an observer there, and we did wreckage in different parts of the country.
And you said whilst you were there the Arab Rebellion broke out?
Then the Arab Rebellion. I remember on one occasion, just before the insurrection, I was sent to Kufa, because there was troublesome there, just to try and fight the Arabs to be peaceful. I stayed there for about a week or so, but things got worse.
Did you conduct any operations against them?
Yes, only for wreckage, only just to wreckage to well, what can you call it?
Find out what they were doing.
Yeah, well, that's a wreckage, a wreckage reconnaissance, and. So, having been there about a week or so, Major Norbury, who's the political officer at that area, said, "Look here, Buggy, if you want to get away, you better get away now. Things seem to be getting worse." So fortunately, another aircraft from Baghdad landed and picked me up and took me back to Baghdad.
Did you see anything of the disorders at Kufa?
Yes. So, but later on, things got terribly worse. And providing you sort of landed in a area which was more or less friendly, you're okay, but on occasions one would say have a forced landing, engine trouble or something like that, you may not be so lucky.
Did that ever happen to you?
Yes, but I got away with it. Having left Baghdad to carry out reconnaissance over Kufa, Najaf, Nasiriyah, and so forth and so on, I had an engine trouble, and then the engine petered out, but fortunately landed safely. And surprisingly, how quickly the Arabs appear when you first land. There's nobody in sight, but in about a few minutes they pop up from everywhere. And so between the pilot and myself, I decided to walk back to Baghdad, which is a matter of 3 or 4 miles, I suppose, and to get some help. So I decided to go back by, follow the, walking along the railway line, which was better than the road, going through the old village.
Were you armed?
Only had a revolver. And at one point, the railway line ran very near the road, or what was more or less a track, really. So anyway, the road was just.
Did you run into any trouble?
So, the railway ran quite near a track, and there were two mounted Arabs appeared on this track. So. I said, well, I better not appear to be frightened. So I left the railway line and walked over towards the track. And as I approached them, they dismounted. So, not taking any chances, I jumped on one pony, or a horse, I don't know, it had no stirrups, no saddle, and just a single head rope. So I dug my heels in, and away I went like John Gilpin. And fortunately I won. I got back to the aerodrome first.
Did the other
Arab was chasing me. And so I got about a dozen men and a couple of machine guns. And a few other arms, and then drove back along the track to where the aeroplane had come down. And
who was that?
Fortunately, the pilot was quite safe, and he'd been entertaining the Arabs with the. Firing very light pistols, very light cartridges.
This was only 3 or 4 miles from Baghdad?
Yeah. So the mechanic got cracking on the engine, put it right, and we went off and carried on our raid. Which,
So these were just two Arab civilians who had the horses, were they?
Well, I don't know whether they were civilians or not. But
did they have any arms?
Yes, but they didn't use them, fortunately. But, I mean, every Arab has a gun. And if he finds anybody... It was likely to give him money.
Was that the only time you had to make a forced landing during the rebellion?
You had to get out of one place. You had to get out.
Out of Kufa? Yes, I think. I think that was the only time.
What kind of aircraft were you flying?
A DH-9A. That was quite a superior aircraft. It's a 400 horsepower Liberty.
Did the Arabs in Iraq seem to be hostile towards you?
Well, yes, definitely. But it depended which part you landed. In which part you landed. You might be lucky and they'd be friendly and pinch your cigarettes, and they might not.
But would they be hostile to your face as you went about your ordinary business?
Hostile?
To your face as you went about your ordinary business.
Was it always in the cat?
No. You had to be careful. You could walk about Baghdad, don't you? Don't want to go outside, you might ask for trouble.
Were you safe in Baghdad itself?
Fairly safe, yes.
I think that you also went into Persia. What, to
Kazvin? To Kazvin, yes.
What was the reason for that?
We were stationed there. That was just a flight we had there. There was a squadron usually usually contains three flights, A, M, B, and C flight. So we had a flight in Baghdad, a flight in Mosul, and a B flight in northwest Persia. And the purpose of being up there was to keep the peace with the Bolsheviks, as we were known then. And we had to carry out recces to Resht and Enzeli, which is on the south west corner of the Caspian Sea.
Did you actually operate against the Bolsheviks?
Oh yes, yes. We just go there and do recces and drop a few pills.
Did you see their forces?
Pardon?
Did you see their forces?
Their
forces.
See?
Their military.
Their soldiers?
Yes.
What did you see of their soldiers?
Well, only a few Cossacks. From the air, of course, only. And, but unfortunately, the chap who was with me on at Kufa in the earlier days of the insurrection also was posted to B flight, and we met there and on one raid on occasion he had an engine trouble, came down and unfortunately, we couldn't see where he landed, owing to cloud cover over the valley where he had gone through. However, later on we learnt that he'd been landed safely, broke the machine, landed safely, and was on their way back towards our lines. We had an outpost at Menjil, and he and the air gunner got about 50 yards from the aircraft, and the pilot, side bottom, said, "Oh, we ought to have the machine gun." So this air gunner said, "Oh, I'll get it, sir." So he ran back and unscrewed the Lewis gun, which you could do, but the Vickers gun is just sort of, that's firmly bolted down and fired through the front. And anyway, the mechanic retrieved the Lewis gun, but when he got back to side bottom, he discovered he was dead. He'd got a bullet through the back of the neck from the Russian Cossacks. They had found him before the Persians, the Cossacks. This air gunner left things as they were and proceeded on his way back to our lines, which he reached safely. But poor Bottom was had it.
Why didn't they get the gunner as well?
Pardon?
Why didn't they get the gunner as well?
Well, he was running at side bottom, sort of stood and watched him, the gunner, go back to get the gun off the machine.
So the Russian Cossacks...
So they got there first, and he was a stationary target, in other words.
So the Russian Cossacks were operating inside Persia?
Oh, yes, yes. And Boris Erdogan got it.
Where did you prefer operating, in Iraq or in Persia? Or didn't it make any difference?
No, just operations for the house and stuff.
It was 4 feet of snow in Persia.
Pardon?
Wasn't it? 4 feet of snow in Persia.
Oh yes, in the winter. Yes, that was certainly. I think Persia was a better climate there. You know, but it wasn't quite so hot because we were about 6,000 feet up. Yeah. So it was quite hot and bearable in the summer, and about 2 feet of snow in the winter.